All righty. Well, today is our closing of not just the script section of Strong From Within, but the entire Strong From Within, which is so shocking to me. I don't even know how 9 months have passed. And it's really wonderful to, I think as an activator, I can get very much about only what's now. And it's like, wow, look at everything we've covered in this time. So just want to acknowledge that.
Yay! And,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I pulled up a piece from the new book for our opening for today, and it's called Heart Wide Open. Warm sun, deep breath, kitty purr, coffee gurgle, soft eyes, beating heart, soft heart, armor melting, open arms, embracing all, boundaries melting, open heart, open mind, quiet heart, quiet mind, recognition, realizing, beyond the beyond, heart wide open, mind in awe, surrendered in awe, no rush to cover or control or contract, heart wide open, heart wide open.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Man, I wish I felt more of that.
You know,
yes.
It's funny because when I pulled it up, I didn't know what it was, and I read it, and I'm like, oh, that's why we write these things to remember. And so when I read it, you know, seeing what it was, it helped me feel a couple of them, and then when I read it more, it just now, it helped me feel a couple more, and it's like, well, I guess that's how it is. Baby steps and circling back around, you know, and having way greater capacity in a moment and then way less capacity and then a little more. Just being human often seems a little inelegant.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
And thank goodness for the inspired thought that captures us in the poem of such moments so that we can remember later when it sucks.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I imagine there's something that happens to us, even if we think we don't take it in, or it's like, yeah, that's great for other people, or, you know, whatever the thought is. I imagine it still does something to just allow the ideas.
I bet it does.
So I thought we'd start with finishing. Last week, Janet, we went over our scripts, and I don't know if you've had a chance to do anything with yours, so we could start there. Have you had a chance to do anything with yours?
Not really, no.
Okay. And Ephraim, do you feel like there's more you'd like to do with yours today?
I don't think so. I will say, though, that I referred back to it several times over the week. I shared it with a few people, and it's been, I think the fact that it happened spontaneously and then it became the script that day has made it even more poignant and interesting, and I can feel it wanting to evolve and becoming more things.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
And I found, Janet, did you get a chance to look at mine that I included as an example?
Yeah, I just read it a little bit ago.
Okay. Okay. So I just looked to see how many pages it was. I thought it was 3 pages. It's actually 4. And I'm like, damn, that's a long script. And I don't even love the word script, but it probably where I would be right now is more like reminder. I do love the imagination of her reality. Don't even know what that is entirely. And that's like what's so great about it. Like, you know, what's reality? What's imagination? So because it's kind of fluid, how to just be with this a little bit more in a way that's meaningful. And I find 4 pages is just like way too much. And as I'm looking at a lot of these things, I'm sort of where you were with the opening piece, Ephraim, like, huh, and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Boy, I wish Anne felt more of this. So I think I'm going to make it a lot simpler, like a paragraph, maybe, and much more things that are attainable, even if not all the time, like feeling states rather than, finally, Anne knows how much money she wants to make, and she's making it. Like, I'm sick of that one. It's funny, too. I'm looking at one that says, she's at peace with all that is, and I'm like, you know, actually, sometimes that's kind of true. And so there's something about some overarching ones that mean all of the other specific ones are less important. Because if I don't know how much money I should be making, if I am not making what I know I actually need to make, then am I at peace with all that is? Well, that really helps. So mm-hmm. That's kind of my observations between last week and this week.
I have a question.
Sure.
Why did you write it in like third person instead of say, I don't know.
I am. Yeah. It's a great question. I have played around with it and sometimes I like kind of distancing myself. Like for a while I was totally I am because the I am statement, just I am, feels very powerful, and it still does, even when I'm saying it. But then sometimes I feel like I don't want to be so attached to this specific personality named Anne Strong. And I recently just wrote a new piece that wasn't for this, and I used a very interesting phrase, which just sort of came out of me. What was it? It was something about the experience known as Anne Strong, which just really cracked me up. Like, it seems to loosen my grip on being so self-important. So, I don't know.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at the moment. I wrote this one originally, it says in here, I wrote it originally September 2016, and I'm pretty sure it has stayed in this form where I alternate between Anne and she. So the whole time I'm writing in third person, and I certainly could have changed it when, like 6 months later, I revised it pretty significantly, and then I updated it for last week. Well, no, I didn't update it when we first met, and then I went to update it and found that I really just changed a few grammatical things. I really didn't change the nature of it. But for today, when I look at it, I'm like, yep, most of this has to go. So it's curious. But the thing I do like about it overall is staying in the experience of being a bit more intentional about what my life is, because it's very easy to just let it be however it is and then feel disgruntled. And it's like, well, if you're disgruntled, do something different. Do what you want. So that's what I like about it primarily. And it's interesting that some things, just by writing them, then they're present or they come to fruition really easily. And other things I seem to write over and over and over and over again, and nothing shifts that much. I'm like, that's curious. What's that? That's like the part of one of the issues I'm going to have to carry to my grave and come back with next time. You know, I don't know.
Right. I know. Those are the ones that are discouraging and make you doubt the power of manifestation. It's like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
I've been doing this
one
for 20 years now and nothing's changed.
Pretty much.
But I thought I was working on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I was reading a book about, this is, probably sounds stupid, but I was reading a book about vision boards today on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I got out of the whole book, it was, you know, nothing new much of anything, but it was like at the end, she was like, the one thing that everybody else, you know, when everybody talks about manifestation and just having a vision or doing a vision board or writing things or something, is she goes, there has to be some step of an action towards that vision or manifestation. Like, we have to physically do something in action to set it in motion. And I thought that was interesting. And she said it might be just as little as, you know, writing it and posting it on something and then reading it out loud. But the reading it out loud was the action.
Yeah.
But if
reading it out loud is powerful.
But the other one was, you know, you're manifesting, you want to manifest, you know, $100,000 a year. What action are you going to take to start that into action? Like, besides putting it on your vision board or writing.
I'm ready, deliver.
And it was like, it kind of was like, you know, it's kind of, you know, there is some responsibility for yourself. And so, because there is things that I say over and over and over and over again, and nothing ever happens towards it. But I think some sort of magic is just going to appear, and it's going to fix it or change it. And so it made me start thinking, well, maybe I really need to do some actions to make things at least get started, and to make like the universe know you're serious or something.
So maybe what that simple thing made you realize is maybe in some of the cases you had not, in fact, taken any action. So now you can be more aware of that.
Yeah, it was just kind of, you know, dreaming or wishing or something that wasn't really, you know, I wasn't involved
concrete.
In it. I just wanted it to actually
match. Gotcha.
Oh, I definitely have those. And then another thing I was thinking was that I have the ones that I feel like I put action into, and maybe like I was thinking at one point while you were talking, Janet, I thought, and then there's those ones where you just have to fucking fight every day for them, or not every day. I was thinking you just have to really fight for them. And it's, you know, a battle of, you know, for me, of course, a battle of making action. And then, like the everyday part came a little bit later. It's like, okay, so I tend to go in spurts that may be months or even years apart, and a lot happens in those times. But then because they're spurts, things don't happen necessarily either. So then for me personally, it's like, oh, do I have to add discipline to it? And then I thought, well, wait a minute, are those really things that have to be added? Maybe I'm not trusting the process of manifestation. you know, because in the book it was saying even a little action can set you on the path or whatever that might be. And maybe the whole idea that I have to fight fiercely for some things doesn't sound flowing, although sometimes fighting fiercely does sound exciting if you're winning sometimes.
I wonder, Ephraim, if an alternative or additive to that would be being in the energy of it. So not a fighting, but definitely ongoing focus of, okay, so if this is the thing or the way I want to be, what does that actually feel like? What is the actual energetic experience of that? Because you seem really good at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that certainly appeals to me, and I feel it as something that would be very mutable for me, in that there may be moments when it feels like fighting fiercely and I'm in like a kung fu movie and I'm a badass and I'm doing that and I'm on the heroic journey, and then there may be moments when it's of softness and rest, but there's still action and momentum in it somehow. And all of the ways to feel in between and beyond.
I like what you're saying about different days, different hours, different moments, different moods, different things work. I found myself since last week and this week, there were three different things. I can only think of two of them right now that I became sort of a avid champion of, like, I'm not standing for this anymore. I have to do something about this. And that's odd for me, much less three in a week. And I thought, well, it's coming through purely, you know, so that's okay. This clearly must need to be how I'm being right now.
I like that. And I like that you have the awareness of it. I was thinking about how much I love to be in a place where the signs are coming and I notice them and follow them, versus the signs that are always coming and I don't notice them or resist them or all of the other things that I do with them. Signs being intuitions, inspirations, all of that. Ways
sure.
of being.
Yeah. Well, what else? Is there anything else for either of you that it feels like what would make this more effective, more real, more usable? I'm not quite sure what the question is.
You mean looking back on our entire experience together, or what do you mean, which part?
Yeah, good question. I was actually referring to the idea of a script or showing up in a way, in a particular way, or even what you brought up, Janet, about taking action toward our vision. I would ask you about the entire experience, and totally, if there's something about any specifics about the experience, that would be awesome. And I realized when I look back at everything we did, you know, each month having a different focus, like 9 months is a long time. So I am so glad we did each of what we did. And I put them in a specific order because it felt like they built on each other to a certain degree. But honestly, I can't review 9 months. So if you can, more power to you. And there's a particular thing let's just look at each of the what we worked on and see what that brings up, if there's anything there that is a little bit of a way to check in. So we did foundation things to begin with, and that was about why and what would be fulfilling to us. And then the next month we did reliance, both on our spiritual reliance and the people we rely on. And then the third month was self-care. Fourth was self-love. Fifth was strengths. Sixth, core values. Seven, our genius. Eight, inside out. And here we are at nine, new script. What popped out for me was number seven, genius, where Janet, you asked why I wrote it the way I did. I think sometimes looking at myself, and it particularly comes up with genius, like if I just try and look at me and what I'm up to, I really have no idea what my genius is. But if I step back a little, separate myself a little, and look at Anne over there, or look at someone like Anne doing the stuff she does over there, it's much easier for me to discern it. And in that piece that I wrote yesterday that I told you I wrote about the experience known as Anne Strong, I also wrote that I was here to serve, experience, and express Anne Strong. And I've been aware of the experience and express for quite a while. That fits with everything we're doing. But the serve was interesting, and I thought, you know, I serve my clients all the time. I serve my family all the time. And I also talk about being my own first client. So, of course, why wouldn't I serve me? It's a very odd concept, but I think it's part of why most of us are not actually very strong from within, because it's all focused so externally. And I think it might be good to ask both of you here, for your manifesting blueprints, are you internal or external? Do you remember?
I think I'm internal, which is I get my ideas more from the inside than the outside, or inspirations.
Basically, your power is the way I get it, that and I guess I think of power because it's a manifesting blueprint. So how do we manifest? Well, we manifest starting on the inside, or we manifest based on interacting on the outside. Janet, do you know what is yours? Okay.
Oh, I'm internal. And,
okay. So I am also, I am wildly internal, as in 23, and when Dave Darshan first did my reading, I was at 90 external.
Oh my goodness.
Hilarious for someone, you know, do we teach what we must need to learn strong from within? I guess so. So I've been really focused on that, and I've been muscle testing, and I just made a huge shift that really brought me closer. And there was a line in the little description about internal, that internal people are here to experience ourselves. And that was like revelationary to me, which is so funny, because in some ways it seems like, well, isn't everybody here to experience themselves? But I realize probably most people aren't. But I don't know. So it's been a really crazy journey for me, since I learned that and realizing, oh, I really understand now, with that big a gap. It was my biggest gap, and it's probably one of the most important ideas to me, obviously strong from within. So yeah, that's just been shocking. So I bring that up because I think that it makes a huge difference.
A huge difference in...
Yeah, what were we talking about right before I brought that up?
How we manifest things. Oh, it was about...
But why...
Go ahead.
I don't remember what I was going to say. You go ahead.
I don't remember either. Sorry. I thought I did, but I don't.
Hilarious.
That is funny.
We were talking about genius, and I shared with you a little bit more about how I wrote my script. Oh, I'll bet you it was about serving, that I had added that whole idea of I'm here to serve. Yes, exactly. Which doesn't that sound, that's a strange phrase, like when you said, serve yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So serve myself. It's like, yeah, but serving Ann Strong, that's just as good as serving Janet Bergen or serving Ephraim Mallory, right? That's all the same, right? I can serve Janet, I can serve Ephraim, I can serve Ann.
Right.
But
and for an
serving
internal,
Janet, Ephraim,
even...
or me.
Right.
Exactly. Finish your sentence, Ephraim.
For an internal, it might even be more important to remember that service to yourself and probably more difficult given the rules of resistance, a la the war of art.
The rules of resistance. That's hilarious. Yes, exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wonder if external people, have trouble being too internal.
I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. Did you guys, Janet, when you looked at yours, did you notice exactly where on internal you were and where you were with at the time you got your reading, if yours was pretty close or pretty far away?
See, right now was 42 and the best one is 33. So they were pretty
close
together, I think.
Yeah, so you're well aligned with it then. Good for you.
We say that again, Janet?
I said that's the only one that was close of all the others.
That's hilarious. And do you remember for you, Ephraim?
Yeah, I just looked it up. I was 27 internal and 60 on the present moment.
Gotcha. So you could close your gap too.
Oh,
and
yes.
I would imagine you have lots of gaps.
I had many gaps to close, yeah.
And for both of you guys, did that ring true for you?
You mean on that it did for the internal, and it was and really, really true. I mean, I'm surprised that gap wasn't larger for me.
Gotcha.
It seems true to me too.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would if I didn't know if I believe something or thought it was true, I would just muscle test, and I got that all of them were true, and that's how I've tracked my progress with this one. This is the only one I'm working on right now. I had two others that were pretty far apart, but like one thing at a time, this needs to be handled. So I've been muscle testing and I've been making progress, but I just made a big leap, and I'm excited to see what a difference it'll make. If nothing else, just greater life satisfaction, which has got to help with manifesting. Because there, I've just manifested greater life satisfaction by being more true to my nature.
Yeah.
Yep. And maybe that's the actions we need to take, is being true to our nature.
Instead of trying to be what?
trying to be somebody else.
Yeah, right? Yeah, seriously. So back to your question, Ephraim, about are we talking about the whole 9 months or just now? Does that trigger anything for either of you that feels like it's still up in the air or we want to revisit in closing?
I just wished I would have had time to do my thing.
Which thing is
here? This last.
Oh, well, still do it. You have time.
I know. I'll still do it. But it was like, oh, I wish I would have had it done already.
I hear you.
I know it's interesting how, you know, as things close, like a class closes down, and I do this with online classes, it's like, yeah, there was things unfinished, and it's so much harder to get back to it when the energy of the class isn't still happening.
Yeah, for sure. I really appreciate it. I don't think I realized when I was first putting this together that I would basically do everything alongside you guys, and that's been really fun. And I don't know why it's not done more. It has helped me be more present to where you are, because that's really how I'd rather lead something anyway. I don't really love the teacher-student model, for me specifically. You know, I'm sure there's lots of circumstances where that's the perfect model. It just isn't so much for me.
Yeah. I know it's so much easier when you're in the midst of it also.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's more real. It's like, oh, this is harder than I thought. Or, oh my gosh, this really has some energy. This is super cool. What else can we do with this?
Are there things you would change about it, Ian?
About the material, I would change almost nothing. I wondered when I created what the content was, like, is there something else? What else should we put in here? And we have talked a couple of times about the manifesting blueprint, which if we didn't all know it, I wouldn't have brought it up. But that's curious, like, is there a place for that? Like, it could be a month, you know, have Dee Dee come in and do that for everybody, and then we could do another month. But I think all the material we did do was really solid. And the idea was to get the darn book written. And now all the material is ready. Like the book would be mostly a workbook and poems and prayers. But now I only feel like I want to do poems and prayers at the moment. So it's still great curriculum. And I still would, the other thing to answer your question, Janet, are there things I would have done differently? It's hilarious to me that the class started out small, but it's ended up being the three of us, which I didn't mean for that to happen. And just, you know, one by one, each person had the reasons they were no longer here. And that doesn't seem optimal. Like I would think a group of 10 or 12 would be nice. And then each time maybe 6 or 8 people would be gathering. But I really appreciated this. I don't know if for you guys it would be better if there were those other 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 people. But conceptually, Janet, that is definitely something I would change.
Yeah, I get that for sure. I mean, you know, for me and Ephraim, it's awesome because we get more personalized coaching from you. But
indeed. And if you wanted other perspectives, you know, if you wanted to know what everybody else was doing for their stuff, you don't get that so much.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and what I was just going to say was New Year's, I think you should just do a poem book, and then you can have this as a course besides that.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking so. You know, my first book is sort of like this in that each chapter is a bit of a workbook, but it also has content. And I don't really feel inspired to say all that much about each of these things except dig in and do the work, right? You know, so very short description. And you're right. I think the poems and prayers are better on their own. That, like, that's just a better way to put it together. So it may end up that this does end up just being a course. And so it's pretty solid to me. I appreciate you asking that question because I hadn't thought about it a lot, but I did review everything we'd done, you know, in getting ready for today and thought, yeah, this is, to me, strong from within, that this is what really makes a difference. Somebody else writing the book would have other things. And now maybe it's not a book, maybe it's a course. So there's always something more you could add to a course if you were inclined, but at some point you have to say, well, this is complete. So for you, especially since you asked the question, Janet, and in taking it, is there anything you would do differently or have different that would make it easier or more complete or fulfilling for you?
Well, in general, whenever I got my shit together and did the work for that week ahead of time and then got on the phone call, I thought it all wrapped up in a nice bow every time. It was really good. You know, and then the other parts are when I didn't get my stuff done and then I was like, oh, I didn't get it all done. I felt like I wasn't using your time wisely with me. You know, it wasn't progressing me any further. And then I also felt
you
like
couldn't
I wasn't
do
you doing your stuff because I didn't actually do the work.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I hear you.
I liked the content. I thought was progressed really well and was good. I do think adding in the manifestation blueprint would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, in which case it would be much better to be a course because then just have Dee Dee do something with that, not try and figure out how to get that into a book. That seems a little...
Yeah.
And even same with... Have it as what?
Kind of an experience.
Yes, exactly.
Go through the course.
Yes. And same with strengths and Strengths Finder. You know, that could be a whole book. I have a colleague who wrote a book. I think his book is called Selling Strengths. And what he did is he wrote a pretty short but really good book, pretty conversational, a lot of stories about people in sales. So they're sales professionals and how it isn't just influencing strengths that can be good salespeople. Like he just told great little snippets of stories about, so this guy had analytical and this is how he used it and this is how he approached a sales call and this guy had responsibility and this is what he did to be successful in his work and this was the kind of thing he sold because that made a difference to him. And I love that book. It's super useful and you could write, there's so many books you could write, like it could be about parenting or it could be about losing weight or it could be about how you wallpaper a room, you know, different strengths, right? And so I love that model and may in fact write one of those books. Well, it's kind of like it's what Gina's wanted me to do called Sacred Strengths and what she wants to do with Sexy Strengths, same thing, right? How do your strengths show up in your sex life? How do your strengths show up in your sacred life? And so far, it's felt a little mechanical to me. I want it to be more magical, and I haven't found that yet. So, but I think the potential's there. And so given that just that one segment on our strengths could be a whole book, that's a little awkward to put in an actual book if it's just a chapter. But anyway, that's a little down in the weeds. We don't need to go any further with that.
I totally like those ideas, though, for something.
You mean books about...
The sacred strengths, what if it was just, I don't even know. You know, I don't know. I just think those are great ideas.
How to win the game of chess and how each strength would go about it.
Which
ones would opt out? Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, you can niche it down into almost anything. I mean, it just has to be something you're inspired to do.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I think that's why it's felt a little sterile to me as much as my own, sacred life is very, rich and pertinent to me. I don't particularly feel inspired to write about it. I'd probably be more inclined to write about romantic relationship and, you know, how it could work there. And there are a few books on relationship and marriage and strengths. So, but I think there'd be room for far more, actually, because the power of having a far more fulfilling relationship when you understand your partner's strengths is so great, because when you don't, it's just like, they're wrong and I'm right. What the hell?
Always true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, obviously. So what about you, Ephraim? Don't mean to put a deliberative on the spot. Something you'd do different? Something you'd want more of?
I think I have a similar thing as Janet. What I would do differently is probably participate a little bit more. And I really appreciate, though, that these calls have all been so valuable, whether or not I had looked at the assignment 5 minutes before or not at all.
Mm-hmm. How do you suppose that happened?
I think with a little bit of patience on your part and the adaptability and openness of our little quorum.
Yeah, nice. Cool. Well, thank you for that feedback. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think in general that it's more likely to be the way this has been than to have everyone show up with their assignments done anyway.
Right. That you have to really understand that that's going to be part of how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. So I don't know. I don't think I had a strong expectation around that, and it seemed great. Like, it didn't seem like it was awkward to incorporate. Maybe it would be... No, I was going to say maybe it would be different with more people, but probably what would end up happening is then the people who hadn't done it yet would listen at first and maybe they'd chime in, maybe they wouldn't, but because there would be more people, and to me it was really important to keep the time short. You know, I don't want to be doing hour and a half calls, so then some people probably wouldn't participate as much because there's more of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I find the closing of anything always a little bittersweet because this has been really sweet in general, and I tend to hang on a little too much. Sometimes I'm getting better at that, and it's not like we're going to never speak to each other again. But, you know, this particular leg of this journey is complete, and it's like, oh, but... a couple Tuesdays from now, what are we going to do? So anyway, I just want to acknowledge that.
Yeah, I get it. I feel similarly.
Me too.
That's funny. I would think you, Janet, might be on to the next fun and amazing thing.
I don't know. Probably.
You can do both. Yeah.
I can do both.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, let's go around, and in closing, instead of me reading something, why don't we each say something that we know we're taking with us as a result of our time together, something that we really do want to keep our focus on a bit more. I can start if you like.
Great.
What came to my mind was intersection is good and needs to be done, and to pay more attention to living strong from within.
Hmm.
And not so worried about the things that I'm not so good at, worried about the things that I'm good at.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what I'm good at.
Love that. That's funny, Janet, because mine is similar. When I really recognized what I was telling you guys about, what it meant that I was so far off when I'm a very solid internal person behaving like I'm over the top external, it's like, wait a minute. What is strong from within? And really staying more present to that. It's hilarious that I can forget. And it's almost like I'm swimming in it so much. Like, it could be easy enough just for strong from within to be a brand, but it isn't for me. It's the way I fundamentally serve and support, whether it's me or my family or my clients or my friends. So it's funny to me that I was so far off in my manifesting blueprint. So whatever I need to do to stay a little more mindful of what is strong from within for me and what am I doing to ensure that for me specifically, because I'm pretty good at it for the other people that I'm supporting, but somehow not as mindful with me. So that's definitely what I'm taking. And how about for you, Ephraim?
I love that I feel like with all the things that I participated with, that it's kind of continued to build. And I think the biggest thing I'm taking away at the moment is the strength of the new script and the care and feeding of magical, beautiful Ephraim.
Yes.
Nice.
And I was thinking again about the care and feeding while we've been talking and realizing that the care and feeding has a lot of compassion to it of, oh, he's in that mood right now. I see. So he needs a little bit more tenderness. Or, oh, look, he's in that mood where nobody gets it. And so he needs a little more play or whatever it is. And I was realizing that the care and feeding is something that takes into account the wholeness of, you know, moods and quirkiness and soul and changes and all of that stuff.
I love that. And that would be true if you were looking at your animals and how you do the care and feeding of them, that they need different things at different times. And it's true with little kids particularly. So, yeah, it's true with us, too, of course. And thank you for that distinction.
Absolutely. It was a really nice realization, because I think most of the time I, you know, try to not recognize those things or want to avoid them or, you know, all of that moodiness or, you know, the emotions that are less positive.
Sure.
Less socially acceptable?
Yeah, that is an even better way to put it. Socially acceptable.
Nice. Yeah.
And all of us internals here, we certainly understand the struggle of that kind of peace, I think. Maybe that's part of the internal, external struggle of socially acceptable and all those layers that we put on ourselves of tribe and religion and groups and relationships and everything that we overlay that covers up the actual soul underneath. I was going to say the actual Ephraim underneath, but I didn't want to leave any of you out.
Fair enough. Yeah. Just that simple little phrase, you're here to experience yourself. That was shocking to me. And I do it every day, but it's like, oh, you mean primarily. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That just really shifted things for me. Like I got so excited, like I'd been given permission, like I can quit so much focus out there. And I find that particularly interesting with my profession because I have a lot of focus on other people's experience of themselves. But it doesn't mean I can't still primarily have mine. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm still feeling that, oh, no, we're going to have to hang up in a minute. Are either of you good at knowing what we do to do that well?
I'm not good at doing that well. For me, it's like, okay, bye. And then, you know, it's like, oh, damn it. There's all that stuff. I have a friend who's like that. It's like, you know, you can be in the middle of it, and then at the end of the conversation, she's just like, okay, bye.
I have a friend who's an Aquarian who doesn't even say bye. It's like, okay, click. Like, what? And then I realized that was really an Aquarian thing and totally innocent. It's just like, she's done. You know, she's off doing her own thing. She's completely disconnected from me. I'm still sitting there looking at the phone. So it is one way to do it because then we're done. Maybe there's a more elegant way, though. Let's see what comes up.
I always like to end with one of your poems, but...
Well, let's do it. That is a good way to do it because it gives us something that we're sharing together and then we go on. So let's see.
Let's pull the one from last week again.
Oh, do you remember which one it was?
It was the one about me. I forget what the title was, though. And you would just pull it randomly.
Oh, my gosh. It was called Beloved. Yes. Okay, let's do that. Yeah. Hang on. Let me get to it. It was shocking how appropriate it was, Janet. Like, you know, sometimes I pull up something. I'm like, what? What does this have to do with anything? But this one is really probably the poem for the entire time, you know, our entire journey. So thank you, Ephraim, for remembering. Thank you, Janet, for knowing that's what we're going to end with. Thank you, Ephraim, for knowing which one. See, we can do this.
Yeah, we can.
Like big kids. All right. All right. So it's called Beloved. I love loving me. I love valuing and appreciating me. I love delighting in and cherishing me. I love showing myself I matter deeply. I love hearing me, seeing me, understanding me. I love attending to me. I love devoting time to me. I love noticing and affirming me. I love championing me. I love loving the entire universe that is me. I love loving the entire universe as me. I love loving me. So great for three internals.
It really is.
Thank you. That was fabulous.
It was fabulous. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'll send it to both of you. There you go.
Oh, that
would be great.
Yes. All right. Until we meet again, just a bit down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks.
Well, bye for now. You're welcome. Bye. My pleasure.
Bye for
Bye-bye.
Now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bye.